So given the mixed reviews and the lowest cinema score in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, sustaining the audience over subsequent weeks is going to be crucial. You can only do that with phenomenal. Man, you got to go see it. It's worth the money. It's worth this. Blah, blah, blah. And that's not happening. Again, the film needs to reach over $1 billion to merely break even. That's a significant challenge. If it can capitalize on the initial draw and overcome the negative word of mouth, there's potential for profitability, but that's a big ask. One thing that has going for it, there's no immediate competition from other blockbusters, so it has a window to prove it has legs at the box office. And whether it can achieve this lofty financial goal, as it's besieged with high production costs, obviously remains to be seen. My prediction, it will be lucky to break even. All right, let's head on to the Rude Rundown, where politics and culture clash. But as I say, politics is always downstream of culture, so politics is always catching up. But they're clashing. They are clashing. Give me 1 second here. First up is Mr. Ben Stiller. He made some statements on retribution. Ben Stiller expresses fear, stating that there can be retribution from the government if you say something wrong. Where the hell have you been at since the Obama administration? I mean, he's concerned over freedom of speech and potential government overreach. Again, where have you been at since 2008? Trump's election has heightened discussions around censorship and political correctness from the left. They're expressing concerns over potential repercussions for their statements. There are going to be no repercussions for their statements. There weren't from 2016 to 2020. This is nothing but public figures spewing showing their hypocrisy. There's a prevalent for fear-mongering from figures like Ben Stiller, who are hypocrites when they comment on issues like free speech, given Hollywood's own history with blacklisting and cancel culture. I mean, do y'all forget in 2021 the DOJ directed the FBI to investigate threats against school board members and claiming parents were domestic terrorists? There were no threats against school board members outside of the wackiness you usually get. But Merrick Garland called parents domestic terrorists. Since Obama's tenure, the FBI has targeted conservatives. Remember the IRS scandal? Remember when they would take years or wouldn't approve nonprofits designation if they were conservative? Then how they handled January 6th, which the truth is coming out. Remember, the January 6th committee destroyed all their notes and evidence. There are people who they said they requested to testify but didn't. These people came back to know they never asked us. We actually went to them saying, we'll testify, but they wouldn't hear us. All kinds of bias. They had over 20 FBI informants of sorts there. Oh, no, we ain't got anybody there. Oh, no, we can't comment on that. Then there's, through since 2008, conservatives being canceled at universities where they're scheduled to speak. Steve Bannon being deplatformed, a judge abusing his power. Ooh, the day he leaves us is the day this planet will be better. He abused his power, threw him in jail, also threw Paul Manafort in jail. And yet all these leftists who have done what these two did are walking free because they were very minor transgressions. Donald Trump was censored and politically persecuted. The government forcing Facebook and persuading Twitter to censor content they disagreed with. I mean, so is Stiller that stupid? Did he miss? Oh, my God. 12, almost 15 years. Where you been the last 15 years? What's sad is he looked honest in that video, but he's an actor. So he's either chosen to remain the fool and not seek out the truth, or he's a liar. It never ceases to amaze me how much of cowards Hollywood has become from the days of understanding and loving this country. When World War II came, professional players and actors, they dropped everything and went to serve. Stiller will only drop his pants looking for his next gig from whoever replaced Weinstein, because when one goes, another fills their place in Hollywood. Stiller is a disgusting joke. Jimmy Kimmel's focus on Trump over ratings. Prioritizing messaging over ratings. Jimmy Kimmel explicitly states that while including Trump supporters might increase his ratings, his primary focus is on repeatedly warning America about the dangers he perceives in Trump. He just heard my last take on Steeler. It's the same thing for him. What is more important to him is, in his mind, lying about Trump, because that's what he does every night, lies about Trump, more than entertaining the people. And the fact that ABC gave him a new contract, well, they were on board. Disney, woke. Disney, who owns ABC, they were trying to indoctrinate your kids. They wanted to teach your kids, hey, tell your parents you're transgender, tell your schoolmate, and they'll tell the school official, and that school official won't tell your parents. The next thing you know, you're going to get castrated. Yeah. I'm being sarcastic with that example, but it's true. That bleep actually has happened. Disney was at the head of it and pushing in that with all its new family programming. So, of course, they gave him a fat contract. He did this on a Malcolm Gladwell podcast. He asked, hey, is not having a significant portion of the American audience, not that he had anyway, a problem? Kimmel's response was, no, it's a calculated choice. Why? Because he doesn't care that he's screwing his network over. And obviously his network didn't care either. Kimmel underscores the importance of not normalizing Trump's actions. He wants to demonize Trump. You know, Kimmel, well, I'll give you that in a second. But this is a broader trend in late night TV where political commentary has taken precedence. Their ratings are the lowest they've ever been in the history of late night television. Greg Gutfeld on cable. See, you get free TV with the three networks. You have to pay for Fox Network, Fox News. Greg Gutfeld beats him in the ratings literally every night now. So this approach by Kimmel and Fallon and Colbert highlights a shift in late night television from entertainment focused to politically engaged content that nobody wants. All this shows me is that Kimmel has Trump derangement syndrome and someone completely out of touch. It's also why ratings are dropping and will drop even lower as Trump's successes grow. America loves Doge. This is likely his last year with Kimmel Live. His contract is up in 2025. The winds of change are here, and he hasn't figured that out. And let's not forget, he had derogatory and was a misogynist on The Man Show. He would ask women on the street to guess what was in his pants. With Jimmy. Tootsie Roll. He had inappropriate contact or made inappropriate contact with some of these women. Made numerous sexist remarks, mocked women's appearances, their intelligence. And he also did blackface. And again, he was a misogynistic pig. Trump versus the Pulitzer Board. The Pulitzer Board loses. Look, the Pulitzer Board awards journalism's highest honor to what Trump's team called defamatory scam, because they gave the Pulitzer Prize to those reporting on the Russia hoax, the Russia collusion narrative. It was a scam. It had claims of Russian collusion to discredit Trump's presidency. And that scam was discredited by various investigations, notably the Mueller report, which did not find evidence of collusion. And they tried to word that so it would still give the appearance, but they couldn't. This narrative was used to undermine his effectiveness in office. And the Florida court rejected the Pulitzer Board's attempts to keep internal discussions about Russiagate. Trump wants it out. How did this come about, this massive lie? So they want to keep the internal discussions about Russiagate prize decisions private, emphasizing the lack of transparency in journalism. All right, that's what it's emphasizing. The judge's decision says, no, we need transparency in journalism. Particularly why you came to the decision to give these prizes, knowing how many holes there were in these stories. This ruling comes as Trump's legal battle focuses on bias in journalism. It's been the battle since day one, since yellow journalism with the Hearst newspapers. This is what Trump calls defamatory reporting, and it was. Now, here's the kicker. This lawsuit follows settlements with ABC for $15 million and Meta for $25 million. And he's on the verge of settling with CBS owned by Paramount because they're trying to merge with Skydance. So look for a massive multi-million dollar settlement there. Look, at the end of the day, the mainstream media is supposed to be our warriors and they become nothing but lapdogs for the elites and the Democratic Party. We need Trump to win these cases for anything to bring these institutions to heel so they begin to have unbiased reporting again, if that's even possible. And until that happens, we shouldn't trust one word out of them. In the bigger picture, we should always question them and their sources anyway. CNN correspondent Caitlin Collins deletes a post promoting the Mangione Defense Fund. Let me find that here for you. Caitlin Collins, Luigi Mangione's legal defense team has launched a new website today. So obviously this is a post shared on X. It included information on donating to the legal fund. The post was deleted after massive and significant backlash. Mangione is accused of assassinating UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Look, we all understand why it happened, but you just can't condone that. Because let me tell you something. Those condoning it, well, your little sister may say the wrong thing to a kid. He blows her head off. Hey, he had it right. She's a bad little girl. Got rid of a bad person. You know, your grandmother may do something. Don't like her. Boom, blow her head off. Oh, I had a reason. I felt triggered. You know, it gets worse and worse. Be careful what you wish for, because anything can be rationalized. You should be angry at your politicians who are in bed with the healthcare industry. This was a bad dude. The guy who was murdered was a very, very bad dude. But so is Mangione. He's an elitist who was never denied his healthcare. See, every time this is what happens is you deny healthcare. He was never denied healthcare. And here's Caitlin Collins supporting that. Collins responded to the criticism by clarifying she was reporting newsworthy information, not endorsing the fund. That's a crock. She lied as she was busted, showing her true colors. She's okay with murdering, having those she doesn't agree with murdered. That's all that showed. There was nothing newsworthy in that post. Because she didn't post it as a news post, and it wasn't supposed to be a CNN. And there was nothing to show why she posted it. She posted it so people would look at it and go and donate. CNN's Jake Tapper defamation case jury decision. I talked about this a while ago. The defamation lawsuit involving CNN Jake Tapper, the jury awarded $5 million in compensatory damages to Zachary Young, a security contractor for defamation. And this was in relation to a story CNN did about the Afghan refugee evacuation, where they I don't know if it's slander or libel, always get those confused, one of the two. So the case was settled, though, before punitive damages were decided. Here's why I'm reporting this. The jury foreperson indicated that they were looking at awarding him up to $100 million in punitive damages. I speculated on that. The jury foreman confirmed it, or foreperson. They wanted to send a strong message against what they perceived as, quote, fake news and partial truths, unquote. Obviously, the case highlights ongoing concerns about media bias. And again, the legal boundaries of what they can report. They also need to win in order to bring the mainstream media to heel and get them to do what they're supposed to do, not take sides and be unbiased. Moving on. Let's get back to gaming. Adam Sessler's hypocritical attack on Elisa Mercante. I mentioned Elisa Mercante. I mentioned G4 TV, X-Play, and that's where this guy became famous. Well, Sessler is a notorious left-wing hack from G4. He took a hypocritical jab at former Kotaku writer Elisa Mercante. He called her part of the, quote, bullshit factory, unquote, of gaming journalism, which is rich coming from someone who's made a career out of spewing his own brand of nonsense. His critique was a convenient shield for his own biases, targeting Mercante's anti-Semitic allegations and Kotaku drama. He's no better. Yet he ignores his own history of vile hate-filled rants against conservatives. This is what you call selective outrage. Now, some misguided souls in the gaming community might applaud Sessler's critique. It's clear they're just as blind to his own contributions to the sensationalist bias cesspool he's now criticizing. Think about that. His words actually ring hollow. His criticisms of others like Mercante reek of projection, especially when he's no stranger to the controversy and has no moral high ground to stand on. Sessler has shown his own significant disdain to gamers, calling them, quote, fucking children, unquote, and criticizing the gamer identity as immature. He suggests gamers contribute to the toxicity and are part of the problem in the gaming industry. I mean, you just heard some of the quotes I said. I mean, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, he's been harsh not only to Republicans, but he had a controversial tweet that he wished death upon his own Republican family members, calling them, quote, stupid, racist, and drink piss, unquote. He's a nut job. He's something sick in his head. So his criticisms of Mercante, as deserved as they are a bit hypocritical, given his own extreme and offensive political commentary. Again, the pot calling the kettle black. And I'm not a supporter of Mercante at all either. The 50th SNL anniversary. Al Franken admits SNL liberal bias in a recent essay. Look, in a New Times essay, did I got a picture of Al? Yes, I do. This was Al on SNL. So he did an essay on Time, in a New Time essay, I guess Time magazine. Al Franken, he's a former writer and performer on SNL. He acknowledged the show's current liberal bias, contrasting it with the nonpartisan approach during his tenure. He states, quote, our goal was to get laughs from everyone, emphasizing the show's original intent to avoid taking sides. Well, I don't know. I mean, they did have dual. It was a little bit less woke, but it was still woke. And he talks about how the show shifts towards advocacy with the left began during Trump's presidency. No, it began before then. My take is simple. Despite Lorne Michaels and other SNL figures who deny the show's liberal bias, like Franken's comments validate criticism from conservatives who argue that SNL has become a mouthpiece for Democrat narratives. Let me shorten that up. We've always known that SNL has been a leftist voice, and Franken validates it. I mean, look at Trump versus any Democrat since the turn of the century. They don't criticize Democrats since the turn of the century. That's why I don't believe Al Franken. Obama went 1,000 for 1,000 at-bats and positive pieces with nothing negative ever done. Look, Franken's a liberal senator from Minnesota. He may still be bitter at the fact that he did that in a picture in front of a woman's breast. Wasn't touching her. Wasn't nothing. Which is a little joke. And they forced him to resign because conservatives used liberals' tactics against him, and the left felt we gotta live up to what we state we are. So he became the sacrificial lamb. Nobody else did. It was just the old white guy. Think about that. Sheryl Crow sells Tesla, donates to NPR in protest of Elon Musk. What an idiot. Here's a picture of her waving goodbye to her Tesla. Sheryl Crow has sold her Tesla vehicle and donated the money to NPR. She cites Elon Musk's influence and his role in Trump admin, specifically Doge. She refers to NPR as under threat by President Musk. Obviously, there's been a lot of pushback, backlash, you idiot, you this, you that. There's been support of her. But I got to be honest. NPR should not rely on federal funding. If you want to exist, NPR, exist on your own. Because I don't need you to use my money to talk bad about me. Anything government funded should be neutral in this sense. And it's not. It's full-blown leftist. NPR/PBS. This is more about Sheryl Crow and her celebrity activism. Musk has previously advocated for NPR to lose federal funding as well. Look, all this is Sheryl Crow virtue signaling for popularity. And they go, I'm with you. I feel your pain. What's that? I got my spa treatment in an hour? All right. That's a long walk to my spa wing of my house. Look, Crow only hurts herself because she loses fans. But at the end, she doesn't care because she's so rich. She can weather any policy her ideology enacts that hurts the working class and the poor. It's that simple. She's okay with Americans being hurt because she can survive it. She shows she's out of touch. And she really wants NPR to stick around because they're as leftist as she is. And the truth is, it's no longer needed. PBS and NPR were there because we needed more options outside of the handful that were around. But now with streaming, podcasting, we don't need NPR. Disney's DEI discourse. Staffers feel abandoned, by Bob Iger. Look, Disney employees are expressing disappointment with Bob Iger, the CEO, accusing him of, quote, pandering to MAGA, unquote, because he's scaling back diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. They see this as capitulation to political pressures from the Trump admin. Look, Disney faces challenges with declining box office performances and a brand perceived to be in free fall. They're losing subscribers. They're facing investor backlash, all because of their DEI policies. Look, Iger has made a decision to remove transgender storylines and canceling certain DEI programs. He needs to repair its brand. This aligns more closely with conservative values, and let's be honest, that's always been their bread and butter. But it's caused a rift within leftists in the company, and they'll be gone. Just fire them all, let them walk, etc., etc. However, Iger's contract does end in 2026, and there's speculation which direction will Disney go. I hope it continues to shift from DEI to brand rehabilitation. The U.S. court upholds R. Kelly's 30-year sentence for racketeering and sex trafficking. There's a picture of Mr. Kelly. Robert Sylvester Kelly, known publicly as R. Kelly, is an American singer, songwriter. He's a record producer who rose to fame in the R&B genre with hits I Believe I Can Fly. He earned multiple Grammy Awards and was a significant influence in the music industry during the 90s and early 2000s. The Second U.S. Circuit of Appeals affirmed the use of RICO against Kelly. He rejected the claim that his employees lacked criminal intent and confirmed his leadership in a criminal enterprise. They recognized the substantial evidence showing Kelly's systematic manipulation and abuse of young girls. That's what he went in for, abusing young girls. And that came about his 2021 trial. So Kelly's legal team does plan to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a long shot, to be honest, but never say never. And he's appealing the use of the RICO statute. The court dismissed Kelly's argument about biased jurors and the admissibility of evidence, solidifying the legal basis for his 30-year sentence. Man, this just seems prevalent, child abuse, in a lot of the elites in various industries. The lust for young flesh. But what scares me is a continual mantra from the left in grooming children. Is their goal to eventually have American society accept this? One would think so based on the accepting of transgenders, the mutilation of children, by stating they're able to make adult decisions, so it's okay to cut the breasts off, to castrate them. They know what they want. It's your children with underdeveloped brains. Your brain does not stop forming until your late 20s. Is this a precursor towards kids saying they want a relationship with an older person? And a court accepting it, it would seem so in the long run. As crazy as that sounds, we have never been more accepting of this grossness, travesty of pedophilia than what the Democrats are doing with keeping secrets from parents, with kids being confused, and they're not confused, they're just being told what they are by teachers at schools. The indoctrination is all vile, it's all evil. So I'm glad to see R. Kelly not win his appeal. The court found him guilty. Bonus question. DCU omits Dean Cain from Superman pick. At DCU World on X posted an image of multiple Superman actors, but more than likely, they purposely omitted Dean Cain, who plays Superman in Lois and Clark, by cropping him out from the original photo shared by Screen Rant. Here's the photo. You see him. You see the top part is a cropped out, Dean Cain cropped out. And they did that. There's no denying it. I mean, at least that's what I believe. Fans obviously quick to notice an omission, leading to widespread criticism of DCU updates for their deceptive editing, which I agree. Dean Cain himself responded humorously to the exclusion, tweeting, "Dude, cut me out," with a smiley, highlighting the absurdity of the situation. Yeah, I got to be honest. You know, these guys, I think the one with the glasses never played Superman. They voiced him. Obviously, that's Brandon Routh, who played Superman in one film. That's a new Superman for the last couple of years on CW. I don't know his name. And there's Tom something, who played Smallville. Tom Welt played Smallville. He looks so different now. Obviously, you look below, there's the most famous one of them all. Tom Welling, that's his name, Tom Welling. But the most famous one of them all out of that list is Dean Cain there on the right. There was just magic about his show that people love. You know, so obviously this has raised questions about the reliability of DCU as the source of information. This much bias undermines your credibility. It does more than that. It shows that they've embraced woke narratives, evident in the casting choices they've also made, like a non-binary Robin, focusing on social justice themes in some of the recent projects. So now they're full-blown woke. That's why this happened. And that contrasts with Dean Cain's staunch conservative views, making him a notable figure of traditional values in contrast to the current direction of DCU storytelling. And there you have it, my friends. This week's Red, White, and Rude. Do not forget to like and share this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did researching it and bringing you the information. Do not forget you can find this podcast, The Red, White, and Rude, as well as my conservative political talk, Fired Up, as well as my new podcast, Fired Up California. And I do have a political sports show called Points on the Board. You can find all of those at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, and Pandora, under the profile handle Grumblings Media. It has been a pleasure, my friends. I am William Del Pilar. This is the Red, White, and Rude. And until next week, I bid you adieu.